Grade 7 Conference, Lecture 24, the last part of our discussion of creative writing. Another wonder, and this we actually put into our class play. Our play was about Queen Eleanor of Aquitaine, who lived in Paris at the same time that Peter Abelard, was at work in the university, becoming one of the first great professors of the Middle Ages. And he wrote a beautiful Latin poem, which goes something like this. Clausus Cronos et Serato, carcerer ver exit, risu Jovis resorato, faciem detexit. Which translated into English sounds something like this. Time's in prison and spring goes out, breaking bars that once were stout. Open skies softly beguiling, wreathe the face of earth with smiling. And we go forward in English. In the empurpled meadow spring brings to bloom each growing thing, and stands confessed the season's king. Out of winter cold and pining, reborn with beauty shining. 1150 was when that remarkable poem was composed. It's somehow, I think the word prison somehow inspired a boy in the class who was one of the least likely to write anything terribly original or funny. And this is what he wrote. To be read, he demanded in a Brooklyn accent. So I'll give it a try. Time sprung from jail and captured spring, dulled his claws and clipped his wings. Wise guy Time whined, I was framed. You're serving my time, spring, so don't complain. Days grew shorter, chill and gray. Time moves on, spring's put away. And even spell, you know, was is spelled W-U-Z and servin without the G and so on. Let me read that again. This boy's life changed after this. He realized he could actually write. And if you were to read what he wrote in 11th grade in Parsifal, remarkable, really remarkable. And it may also have just been something medieval really lived there that was kind of brought to life again. Time sprung from jail and captured spring, dulled his claws and clipped his wings. Wise guy Time whined, I was framed. You're serving my time, spring, so don't complain. Days grew shorter, chill and gray. Time moves on, spring's put away. Okay, that was nice. And then we went on to Surprise. Again, I don't want to spend this whole session reading to you, but, you know, I'm well aware. I mean, I was an English major. I went to Columbia University and really got a fantastic education in literature. And I don't even think Columbia teaches it nearly as well these days. But so I'm happy to share some of this with you. And just to let you know, don't get stuck just on verses that Waldorf teachers have written, okay? There are some lovely verses Waldorf teachers have written. I've written some myself, and I'm very proud of them. But come on, it's not great literature. It's hardly even literature. It's just kind of charming pedagogical stuff. No, go into poetry anthologies and become just more comfortable with great poetry. And bring it to the kids. Okay, here's one you'll never find anywhere. It's called Tichborne's Elegy, and it's by Chidiock Tichborne. Well known, I'm sure. But listen to it. written with his own hand in the tower before his execution at age 18. So he was one of the many caught up in the great intrigues around Catholicism, Protestantism, and so on in the time of Elizabeth and later James as well. So this is what he wrote at age 18. He's just 6 years older than the children in your class, 5 years older than some of them. My prime of youth is but a frost of cares. My feast of joy is but a dish of pain. My crop of corn is but a field of tares, and all my good is but vain hope of gain. The day is past, and yet I saw no sun, and now I live, and now my life is done. My tale was heard, and yet it was not told. My fruit is fallen, and yet my leaves are green. My youth is spent, and yet I am not old. I saw the world, and yet I was not seen. My thread is cut, and yet it is not spun. And now I live, and now my life is done. I saw my death and found it in my womb. I looked for life and saw it was a shade. I trod the earth and knew it was my tomb. And now I die, and now I was but made. My glass is full, and now my glass is run. And now I live, and now my life is done. That was for surprise, 1586. The first time I worked with that with my class was exactly 400 years after its composition. So there's a surprise poem, which many of the children took up, you know, how to write. We learned about the paradox, the oxymoron. And they were very interested in that, so astral, where in a way you bring these polarities together and try to hold them. What does that mean that you're saying things that can't possibly both be true and yet point to a higher truth? It's a very interesting exercise. Here is one that couldn't keep the boys away from this one. And here again, they made remarkable connections to it. We recited several of these poems in assemblies at different times during the year, and they also recited some of their versions of it. This is called We Real Cool. The subtitle is The Pool Players, Seven at the Golden Shovel. Now, this is written by Gwendolyn Brooks, the great African-American poet, 1958. She's trying to take the syncopation of jazz and put it into a poem. So you'll hear enjambment, something else that the children were interested in learning about. Every line but the last ends in the word we. We as in us. I'll try to emphasize that as I read it. So there's this kind of bam, you know, strong beat. We real cool. We left school. We lurk late, we strike straight, we sing sin, we thin gin, we jazz June, we die soon. Ah, there it goes. Surprise. Maybe not a surprise to some of you reading the rest of it, but what the kids said immediately, so this was mid-80s, Mr. Schwartz, she invented hip-hop 30 years ago. She invented it. And you realize, yeah, that this really, she really caught something here. Quite wonderful. Let me read it again, and then I'll read a boy's version of it. We real cool, the pool players, seven at the Golden Shovel. We real cool, we left school, we lurk late, we strike straight, we sing sin, we thin gin, we jazz June, we die soon. And of course, what they liked is you're waiting for the next we, but it's not there. They also liked, it was all words of one syllable. What a dream for a seventh grade boy that you're actually allowed to do that. Okay, so let me find the contribution that the student made. Here we go. We knit good. We carve wood. We bow strings. We songs sing. You with me. You with me. We far from heaven. We in grade 7. Okay, let me read that one again. We knit good. We carve wood. We bow strings. We song sing. You with me. You with me. We far from heaven. We in grade 7. He couldn't help but add a few more syllables there at the end, but that was really a lot of fun. So there you have it, simple exercises, and then, okay, you know, a composition, what is the nature of surprise, or, you know, a surprise I had. But after doing those poems, they're not just going to want to write cliched stuff. They're not going to be inclined to wish for world peace or, you know, to have a surprise party as the great surprise of their life. They're going to find the nuances. They're going to find the subtleties. And that is definitely the most important thing that we really want them to experience. And of course, we shouldn't forget that the theme of wish, wonder, and surprise, and the emphasis now on a different level of writing, that you're making greater demands on them, you know, more of a sense of style, more use of sentences of different length, richer vocabulary, playing more with adverbs and adjectives, and so on and so forth, that all of these elements come not only into the work they do in this block, but all of their writing. So by all means, this is the year where 90% of what appears in a main lesson book is their own work. You know, you're writing very, very little on the board for them. They're really doing that work. That means that you should expect to take home a lot of pages of compositions. So I would only, with my 34 students in my most recent class, I would only have them write a composition once a week, even in something like a history block, history, geography. Once a week, it would be a long composition, in, you know, double-spaced, rough draft, 10, 15, 20 pages, sometimes more. Gave me a lot of work to do when I went home. Now, fortunately, in earlier grades, they had really mastered spelling. They had gotten very good at, you know, punctuation. Their grammar was fine and so on. So it really meant that the longest compositions, which, of course, were written by the best writers, were those that I could breeze through in my correction. They needed very, very little correcting. In fact, a few of the girls figured this one out and would purposely make mistakes, hide their mistakes in the middle of the composition and see if I noticed them. And if I did not, they'd write it out on the blackboard and keep it there all day long. Mr. Schwartz missed the following mistakes in 3 compositions so that my specialty teachers could see that as they came in. But I'd rather have that kind of embarrassment than sending them into the world as semi-illiterate. So, you know, demand, demand, demand. When they also do their science writing, that too should be beautifully written. It shouldn't just be a recitation of facts. It should be what they have taken in and made their own. when they do their laboratory reports for physics, for chemistry, there I would let them write in groups, making sure everybody contributed, even if only one person did the physical writing. That way, I had fewer lab reports to correct because they're doing two, three, or four a week, and we could cycle through those quickly. I could correct them, they'd photocopy it with my corrections, they'd copy that, correcting it themselves into their book. So make sure they are writing quite a bit this year. Seventh grade is a kind of golden age for written work, and by eighth grade, 100%, if not more, of the main lesson book work should be theirs, which means that main lesson books should be different. Not everyone should look alike. They might choose different drawings, different composition themes. Here you have to give them the time to individualize their work much more. But that's a different story, and that's for our eighth grade conference.